Gregory Bright was locked up in prison when he was 20 years old for a murder he didn't commit. Now he's almost 50. 2 years ago, he was declared innocent and released. Some states give exonerated convicts some kind of support when they're released, compensation for time served, help with a job or education. That wasn't true in Louisiana when Greg Bright was set free. The state gave him only $10 and a bag for his belongings.
That day that I actually stepped out, you know, bulbs and stuff flashing, cameras and stuff flashing, and this guy, the first words he asked me, he said, how does it feel to finally be a free man, you know? And I thought that was the most cruelest question that I could be asked. You know, I just stepped out of prison after serving 27 and a half years, you know what I mean? It was like a demon or something that had been exorcised from me. And I just needed time just to be away, be alone. Made it a conscious decision to change that.
Today, Gregory Bright lives in Mississippi with his girlfriend Alice and her son. He introduced producer Eve Tro to some of the people and places that are helping him as he struggles to build a new life on the outside.
Hey, we're here at the Innocence Project in New Orleans, and I'm here to attend a monthly meeting of the Inside Out organization. Traveling by Greyhound, it takes anywhere between 3 to 5 hours to get here, you know, because they make so many stops. What a purpose for me, you know, what I get out of, you know, is the opportunity to be around, you know, some of the guys that I was in prison with. You know, we talk about, you know, how we can survive. The little time that I've been on the street now, you know, I can share that with them, you know, enlighten them as to how they can make their transition a little easier.
My name is Barry Gerhardt, and I run a program called Inside Out. I advocate on behalf of the exonerees, trying to get them housing, counseling, medical care, employment, trying to get compensation for the exonerees. The second part of that is the Inside Out meetings. And at these meetings, exonerees come together, and they talk about the one thing that only they can understand, what the experience of being an innocent person in prison is like, and then how the wrongful conviction continues to affect the transition back in terms of finding employment, housing, those needs. You know, they lose those years and all the money they could have made in those years, but it also affects their Social Security in the future, so they get less in return. We had a CPA go over Greg's wrongful conviction and what he lost. It was over $150 per month that he would lose in Social Security benefits.
We're here at the Innocence Project Law Library. To look at and see these law books is like seeing an old friend, really, in a sense, because, you know, I spent a lot of time on going over cases and stuff, reading cases. And, you know, when I went to prison, you know, I could hardly read my name. The furthest I went in school was sixth grade. They had some religious pamphlets in the prison, and I took those religious pamphlets and started underlining words that I was partially familiar with, write the words over and over and over and over till they become stuck in my head. And that really aided me, you know, because I was able to eventually start working on my case. And if I died in prison, I'd die in a law library, or I'd die with legal papers underneath my fingertip.
Greg walked out of the prison gates with a $10 check from the state, and he had these orange plastic garbage cans full of his paperwork. That's it. I've tried to assist him in any way I can. It's very difficult because he's in Macomb, Mississippi. It's not really a densely populated area. There's no buses. He's unemployed right now. He doesn't have any transportation right now. So it's a joyous occasion when he was released, but at the same time, his wrongful conviction continues to affect him even though he was released.
When I first got out of prison, you know, it was like, where would he stay? Macomb's been the place. This is a really quiet neighborhood. Sometimes I come out, I sit out on the porch and stuff, and you know, like when the kids is going to school or getting out of school, it's just a lot of activities, just a lot of movement and stuff. It's a lot of freedom, you know, and I enjoy watching that. I enjoy being a part of that. Yeah. You know, there's always some degree of mistrust when you're dealing with someone that's been to prison. Even though I've been exonerated, it makes people uncomfortable, I'm pretty sure. But once they talk to me, that's easily erased. And people become genuinely interested in the story. You know, they want to know exactly what happened, you know. You know, I get people, you know, want me to come places, you know, like churches and stuff, universities and stuff, you know. And I do that, you know. I share my time and my story with people. And that's a welcoming release for me, you know. On September 4th this year, I'll be 50 years old. At my age, you know, people be talking about retiring, you know, not jumping into the workforce, getting up every morning, you know, getting on this routine here, you know. You know, I don't want to stress out. I done did that. You know, I mean, we built fences in prison from one end of the prison to the next. Stayed up long hours in the governor's mansion, you know, like I was dishwasher. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I could use some financial help. Coming out of prison with $10, it's really a mockery. A place to stay and food and stuff like that, I'm straight with that, you know. I'm fortunate enough to live with the person that, you know, she has her own apartment and stuff, and she has a handicapped son, and she's a small lady, and a lot of things she can't help him with. She seems sort of like the underdog, you know. And I remember when I was about 13 or 14 years old, my stepfather was bedridden, had become bedridden, and part of my childhood consisted of, you know, being somewhat of a caretaker. You know, I just thought, well, maybe, you know, while I'm here, you know, I could help her and show her some things and stuff like that. And, you know, she's loving every minute of it, you know.
I'm Alice Bale, and I met Greg through his niece, Chanel. I done heard God knows how much about him through his family. And when I first met him, you know, he looked good. I just fell in love with him, you know. He's sweet as gold, and my son is crazy about him. And Greg crazy about him, and I love him for that.
Well, this is Corey Robinson. Tell him what your name is. Coco, among other things, love to laugh. Look, he's laughing right now. He just love to laugh, and he's as you can see, you know, he has upper body strength, but he doesn't have you know, use of his lower extremities. You know, that's why I come in. You know, I cut his hair and bathe him, help him bathe and stuff. And in a lot of ways, I'm just sorry that, you know, I'm not in a situation to do more than I have done, you know. Like he always talk about a remote control wheelchair, you know. I mean, his biggest dream is to one day own a remote control wheelchair. That's not a lot. It's not a lot. But for him, you know, in his situation, in his position, you know, it's a big fantasy. And I just hope that somewhere down the line I can make that fantasy a reality for him. You know, a lot of times I look at him, I say, well, you know, he's been like this all his life, and I don't know why he was chosen to be in his situation no more than I know why I was chosen to be in mine. But I do know this, that it's better enable me to accept, you know, what I've gone through.
Exonerated former convict Gregory Bright. Our story was produced by Eve Tro. This past week, the Louisiana legislature agreed to compensate people who are wrongfully convicted, giving them $15,000 for each year they were in prison, up to a maximum of $150,000, plus job training, counseling, and free tuition at the state's colleges and universities.